Welcome to the St. George's Leeds podcast. Sharing life, loving Leeds.
My name's Eve. I'm the associate rector here. It's my fourth week, so I'm sort of a bit new, like some of the new students. You can whoop me, that's all right. And it's great to be speaking to you guys tonight, especially after celebrating with David's baptism. It's my first baptism at St. George's, so that's a great one to start on. And we're finishing tonight a series, a short series on Jesus and aspects of his character. And you can catch up with the other talks from morning and evening services, if you like, online. We've been talking about Jesus as Saviour, Teacher, and Healer. So all of that is on the website. And tonight, we are closing our series with the title, Jesus is Liberator, the one who frees us. And in fact, Jesus, the name Jesus in Hebrew, Yeshua, means God saves or delivers or rescues. So really, we're saying that Jesus is the God who delivers and liberates us. And it's a massive theme, but we're going to dive in tonight. So if you feel like you can lean in and think together about what this means, that would be amazing. And we hear freedom talked a lot about in our culture, I think. Freedom of speech, trying to be debt-free, free to be who we really are, free to be anything we want to be, we tell our children now. Freedom from being in certain relationships with other nations. That's being discussed currently. But is that what Jesus offers when he's talking about freedom? And I want to suggest tonight that the freedom offered by Jesus is much bigger than the descriptions that we often hear in our culture. And that is because Jesus frees us from the biggest hindrance to being fully human. And that is ourselves and our agendas. So to look at this together tonight, I'm going to ask three questions and we're going to look at bits of scripture together to build up this picture. The three questions, for those who like to know where we're going, I don't want to have another slide in it, is why do we need liberating? How does Jesus liberate us? And what do we do with that freedom if and when we find it? And we're going to use portions of the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans. I've been delving back into the book of Romans this week. And if I could just get you to all go away and read Romans chapters 6 to 8. I thought about just reading that tonight, but I thought I might add some my own thoughts as well. Then that would be wonderful. Paul met the risen Jesus in a dramatic way when he, who was previously a Jewish religious teacher, was on the way from one place to another to catch and imprison some of the early Christians because he didn't like their way of life. But he got turned around by that encounter with Paul, with Jesus, the risen Jesus. And he quickly became a prominent church planter and teacher, and he wrote a lot of the New Testament. So in Romans, we have part of a letter that he wrote to a church he hadn't met yet, but he wanted to encourage them in their faith. So why do we need liberating? When we ask why we need liberating, we're really asking what we might need liberation, freedom from. Because being free implies that we were previously enslaved to something. It's quite a big word. And we have modern examples of this. There are still millions in our world who are in slavery. They are bought and sold. And when they are rescued by people like International Justice Mission, they're free to move around freely and make their own decisions once more. Many might describe addiction in similar terms. People find themselves unable to walk away from taking drugs or drinking or smoking. It has a power over them and they feel trapped. And people who are free from addiction, however that happens, even if they might still identify as an addict, they refuse to be enslaved anymore by taking drugs or being in the situations that would lead them into temptation. And that takes community and support. And in Scripture, in the Bible, we see a grand story of a people who were in a free relationship with their creator, the God that made them and loved them. But a story of seeing them become slaves to their own desires and agendas, and the story of the outcomes and the ripple effects that that brought in the world. And in Scripture, that turning away from God, the actions that takes, is called sin. And we heard that word in the baptism liturgy, the words earlier on. And we have these two poetic creation stories in the beginning of the Bible, and they give us an image of how it was supposed to be. Some Lego Bible there for you. God created a good and beautiful creation where humans were made in God's image to tend and expand that goodness and beauty throughout the world. But humanity decided that we knew better. We put our agenda over God's. We stepped out from under his love and guidance and freedom, and we decided to become our own gods, and often other people's. Our slavery to sin began. And the Apostle Paul puts it like this. They, humanity, exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things, not the Creator. And throughout the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, we read the story of God's people experiencing times of slavery and exile, either being removed or sent away from their homeland. Some of that was caused by other nations and powers, and some caused by their own disobedience to God's leading. A bit of Prince of Egypt there, if you like that film. Let my people go. That one. It's great. There's a new stage version coming up. And we read in the book of Exodus, God frees his people from slavery in Egypt of his own power through Moses. But even then, later on, God's people still wanted to rule themselves, to have a king like other nations did. And eventually, God let them have what they wanted. We read in the books of Kings and Chronicles of the disaster that is when human beings decide they can live and rule with no reference to God. There's wars and betrayal and societal decay, and it's all there in the Old Testament. And the prophets, the people who spoke for God, warn that the Israelites' disobedience will have consequences. And eventually we see God's people conquered by foreign powers. They're sent into exile, into slavery again. And there is some hope that they will be rescued, and some of them do return to their physical homeland, but it's not a complete return. But the prophets also speak of one sent from God who will rescue them and bring them home and free them once more. And heading into the New Testament, the Jewish people still await this savior, this liberator. They expect a strong political leader, one who will come and smash the Romans. But it's not quite what they get. But even if that biblical narrative doesn't resonate with us because we don't quite connect with that origin story, Paul acknowledges that trying to live our own way seems to be a human flaw and one that we need saving from. He says, all have fallen short of the glory of God, of God's best for us, even Paul. And Dave spoke a bit about him experiencing that feeling earlier. Paul is frustrated with himself and his actions because even though he knows what the right thing to do is, he doesn't always do it. He says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I don't do. But what I hate, I do. I don't know if you've ever felt like that. You thought, I knew that was foolish. I did that in anger. And there's also the sense that there is more at work than just human willpower. That there are powers and forces that are working against God's goodwill in the world. And that sometimes we or people we know or whole systems of human behavior seem to be fueled by darker forces. The desire to rule ourselves gets swept up by something more. And we also need liberating from being influenced by those forces in the world. And I wonder if any of that resonates with us tonight. It does with me. And I grew up going to church as well. And I claim my faith for my own, really, as a teenager. But I stuck with Christianity before that, even though, a bit like David, it was a bit boring sometimes, and all my friends left. But I stuck with it and with Christianity because I really couldn't get to grips with the idea that humanity was kind of the pinnacle of morality in the world, that we, on our own, were getting it right, that we could live wisely. Because I just didn't really see the evidence in the world. And I felt kind of instinctively that we needed help and maybe an external source of help and a reference point to help us live the way that we knew might be better. So we need liberating from sin, our desire to rule ourselves and the consequences that sin brings, not just to us, but to those around us. Because going our own way and being our own gods has consequences. It ripples out into the world. And those ripples are often exponential. They're bigger than just the first thing that we think of or do. Our selfishness hurts other people. It adds to the greed and distrust and injustice in the world. And by later in the letter of Romans, Paul puts it bluntly in chapter 6. He says, the wages of sin is death. Sin dehumanizes us to the point of death. If not physical death immediately, then walking around disconnected from the life giver, our creator, and from others filled with God's life. Just before I continue, I want to give you 1 minute to ponder this. If you are an internal processor, just think, does that resonate? Do I feel free in life? Does what the world offers as freedom appeal? If you're an external processor, you could look around and nod at someone who's an external processor. And for 30 seconds, 15 seconds each, exchange ideas. Go, 30 seconds. Think or speak. Fantastic, thank you. You could probably carry on, and it might be one of those good, deeping meaningfuls to go to the pub with later, if you want to carry on that conversation. So we've thought about why we might need liberation. And if that's the case, how does Jesus liberate us? And the Christian claim is that Jesus liberates us by taking on the wages of our sin instead of us. The Jewish people at the time of Jesus were hoping for this strong political leader, defeating the Romans and elevating the Jewish people again. But instead, God came himself as a humble child and showed us how to live in God's kingdom, the rule and the reign of God. And John talked about that last week in the evening. So it'd be really great to listen to that again. Jesus, God in flesh, entered into our world and our mess and lived among us and alongside us. He showed the kingdom of God breaking in by healing people and casting out evil and darkness. His life showed us what freedom looked like and that he had power and authority over evil and dark forces. And then he died a sacrificial death on our behalf, taking upon himself, absorbing into himself the wages, the consequences of our sin, death and shame, and that deep sense of separation from God. That's what we arguably earned through our slavery to sin, that he paid the debt, sometimes called a ransom. We're restored to relationship with God without having to pay the wages of sin by trusting in what Jesus did. And then Jesus rose again. He defeated sin and death. And he invites us to join that life now. And that's what coming up out of the water symbolizes in baptism. His resurrection proves his victory and his power over sin and death. In another letter of Paul's, he writes to another church that Jesus forgave all our sins, having cancelled the charge which stood against us, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So Jesus breaks that power of sin and frees us from both the influence of the dark forces in the world and from having to receive the consequences of our disobedience and our turning away from God. We come into the freedom of friendship with our Creator. And that doesn't ensure a trouble-free life, but it does mean that Jesus walks with us by the Holy Spirit through our trials in honesty, in community, as Dave was talking about, in our network groups, in small groups, to work out what it means to be free in the world. And Paul puts it like this in Romans. Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. You see, just at the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. It says, God demonstrated his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we're gifted with this eternal life with God, which we didn't earn, but Jesus bought with his life. And he brings us forgiveness, but not just that. He brings us power to live differently. We're free to live as we were made to live. So what do we do with that freedom? If we were to accept this gift of God and trust in Jesus, as Dave has with his life, then according to Paul in Romans, we now find ourselves free in the world, free from the power of sin and its consequences. So what do we do? What is Christian freedom for? Is it so that we carry on in our lives as normal? We just know in ourselves that we are good with God. And I wonder if this film clip, if it works, might show us the there's a cone involved, if it works. So that's from Get Smart, and the thing that he's trying to put over himself is a cone of silence in which you can express how you like, and it didn't work. Bless him. And I think that's sometimes how we walk in our Christian freedom. We know that we have this freedom in Christ, and we walk around and we're going, I'm free, yeah, I'm singing worship songs, going to church. But actually, that freedom doesn't impact the world around us and begin to change and ripple like the negatives of sin did. And so we're actually called to not have the cone of freedom over us, but to shout about it and to make a difference in our lives. Our Christian freedom isn't for our benefit alone. It's for everyone. And it gives us eternal life, but that's not all it's for. Our freedom has an anchor and a reference point of God, our Creator. We now live as citizens of God's kingdom on the earth, as we prayed earlier, to bring heaven on earth as it is in heaven. And in a way, we are free to do what we like after that, but that's not the kind of purpose of it, and it would be a waste of our thankfulness to God. And I've heard it said, love God and do what you like, which I quite like when we think about what that implies when you put those two together. And Paul and another apostle, Peter, encouraged their readers in the New Testament to not waste their freedom or use it for selfish gain, but to serve others and God. And in that verse from 1 Peter, he says, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil or for yourself, but living as servants of God. We're free from the power of sin and our agenda to grow God's kingdom in the world and to be agents of freedom in his world, to share the good news of Jesus, to increase justice, to be there for those who do not have spiritual or physical freedom, to free literal captives, to support those to become free of addiction, to challenge unjust systems of human behavior and politics and economics. Not just because they're good things to do or because we have the right to, but because our allegiance is to a more beautiful Master, who paid for our lives with his. And we do that together as the church. And freedom from sin in Scripture, in fact, makes us slaves to a different master, slaves to Jesus. But it's not slavery as we imagine it in the world. When we're slaves to Jesus, we have a master who is kind and loving, who has complete integrity, and who knows what's best in all circumstances. We also have a wounded master, a humble master. So it's like being a child in their own home is free to roam under loving parents. Actually, the house belongs to us as much as it does to our parents. It's not like Harry Potter being shoved in a cupboard under the stairs. So our freedom is a freedom with boundaries and reference in relationship to our good Creator, not to restrict us, but to release us to live as God intended for the sake of the world. And when we hear about freedom in our Western culture, it's often in a framework with no limits, like, you know, let it go, or this is me, all of those songs. I won't do the whole rendition. But that kind of shedding the shackles of any limitations on us, and not really concerned for other people's freedom. And it's easy to say, as long as I don't hurt anyone by what I say or do, then I should be able to do what I like. But I don't think that's kind of true, because we're all interconnected. It's not how human relationships work. We're not islands. And it's naive to think that we could live any other way than interdependently with others. And technology masks some of that, but we are connected. What we buy online, where we work, what we post on social media connects us with other people. What we eat or wear, where we choose to live, has an impact on the environment. And at the moment, we're waking up to that impact in our freedom to consume as much as we want on our planet. But what we have in Jesus is power and authority to limit our freedom for the benefit and blessing of others and the earth. Not because we have to, but because we can. Because we're already known and loved by God. So we don't have to earn it. We live out of being loved and known in partnership with our Creator. So we can be generous and extravagant in our lives. We switch our priorities for Jesus because his are better than ours. We become other focused. And I'm so grateful for that. I don't know about you, but I can be so in my own head. I don't know if you feel like that sometimes. And remembering that I don't have to earn my place in the world, I don't have to perform or achieve to be valued, is so vital now for how I live. And when I was a student, that understanding of freedom really impacted me. I learned to enjoy studying and like to work hard. It's not always popular, but to actually go for it in my studies. Not because I had to earn good marks and achieve and prove myself, but because I had the privilege of learning and to honour God in that way. I visited an asylum seeker in a detention centre with another friend, not for kind of any credit. No one really kind of asked us to. We found out about it. But because we were free and known by God, and we wanted that person to know that they were seen by God as well while they were in literal confinement. That wasn't their fault. So how will you use your freedom in Christ if you already follow Jesus? Or if you don't, does the freedom you're offered in the world feel releasing? Or does it feel daunting? Do you want to be connected to the one who could guide your freedom in Christ to bless others? And in a moment, we're going to have an opportunity to sing and be prayed for and pray. But how do we respond or begin to? Some of us here know what I've been talking about as a reality. So how do we operate in that freedom day to day? Do we feel like we have to earn God's love? Do we need to rest again tonight before you go to sleep tonight to sit and be and know God's love? Maybe he's prompting you to be more of an agent of freedom outwardly, in your workplace or in culture. For others, this is new territory. You might think, I'm not a slave to anything, I'm a good person. I don't hurt people. But I want to offer to you to investigate further if Jesus is who he says he is. Because if he is, and if he did the things that the Christian faith claimed that he did, if he rose again to life, having been innocently crucified, then that matters. And the Alpha Course is a great place to look for that. And maybe it's new for you, but you want to respond to God's offer of freedom in Jesus. And tonight is a great, there's no kind of magic formula, there's just an intention and a prayer and a yes to say, I trust in what Jesus has done in bringing me liberation from myself and my sin and my mess to live for him and for the world.
Thank you for listening to the St. George's Leeds podcast. For more talks or information, visit stgs.org.uk.